Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand, Melania. Permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist, fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my roster, you know I just been.
Oh boy, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I can't believe it's Tuesday again.
I know. I feel like this is like every day is Tuesday. It feels like every day is Tuesday. I don't know how this is happening. When I saw the message, I was like, there's no way that it's Tuesday again. Like, that is impossible.
It's amazing. So how you been?
Oh, man. Oh, just lovely. Just lovely.
Just
can't complain. Everything's good. Well, how about you?
I've been good. Chilling, hanging out, relaxing.
Yeah, I feel like there's not that much going on. It seems kind of quiet. I don't know. I haven't watched the news. I haven't listened to the radio. Nothing in months.
I know, me neither. I was watching it like every day for the past couple of months, but recently I really haven't been watching the news or up to date. I mean, well, important things I tune in for, but for the most part, I haven't even been watching. I don't even know what's going on in the world.
I get my information from B. Scott on Instagram and The Shade Room.
I know, and then you send it to me, and I get that information.
Yeah, The thing I appreciate about B. Scott is that they do not post anything unless it's, like, for sure. Like, it's not like TMZ where they'll just post it because it sounds good. I remember when DMX was in critical condition, every other site posted that he had passed away before it was officially announced. And B. Scott was the only one that didn't post it until it was officially announced. So that's where I get my information from. I used to listen to the Breakfast Club. But, yes, and I used to listen to the Breakfast Club, but since I don't travel to work anymore, I don't always get the opportunity to listen to it in the morning. So.
Oh, they have podcasts.
So what are you going to do? Huh?
You can listen to it on your phone.
I can listen to it after it's over. I just can't do it. The only time I can do it is when I'm on my way to work. I can't even listen to it in the house. I don't know why. I don't know why.
It's different.
My brain only wants to hear it on the train. I don't know why.
It's different in the ambiance.
I don't know why.
To be among...
has Padre. Oh, there he goes. Let's bring him in. Let's bring him into the conversation.
Hey, Hotep
hey.
Family.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going excellent. Supreme,
there
to be exact. Quite something
man.
Else. And Hotep to the family
man.
And to everybody
that's
listening
right.
And all the things that's going on. I'm so happy to be alive.
That's right.
And I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what's going on.
Oh, everything's going on. Everything from one side to another. It's quite something else out here. Wow. Quite something else.
Oh, I don't even
man.
Think we have a topic for today, like an official topic.
No.
Well, we don't
no,
need
I don't,
an official
I don't know
topic.
What's going on in the world.
But we don't need one because every day something happens.
I know.
We don't need
I know.
A,
well,
I
feel like nothing has even happened.
Everything. Every day something else happens as it relates to just who we are and what it is that we have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we all... Even though everything is coming at us and there's so much challenge and so many things going on, the one thing that we are learning, at least let me speak for myself, the one thing that I am learning is that it's up to us. Now have, you know, we've come to a realization that even if you wanted to, people of European descent are not prepared or equipped to be able to not only solve our problem, they're not capable of solving their own problems.
Their own problems. Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at somebody hoping that they will help you, and you're coming to the realization they can't help themselves, at some point you got to say, oh, I don't think so. It's time for me to roll back my sleeves and get to work. This is how I honestly feel at this point. They are incompetent. They are mean-spirited. And when I say they, I'm not speaking about everybody. I don't talk like that. I don't speak in absolute.
Not absolute.
But as a group, you know, when I saw this thing last week where this person of, and this is an interesting topic too, saw this interview with this man of European descent. I believe it was in Minneapolis. I could be wrong. Could have been North Carolina or one of the other many places of treachery. But he said, they interviewed him. He said, you know, for the first time in his life, now I'm going to give him credit. It's hard to believe that this could be. But he said for the first time in his life, he as a white man, as a European, has come to realize the privilege that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And he
oh, wow.
said that when he sat and watched George Floyd, when he actually watched, and see, this is what I think the pandemic did. It shut us all down into our house, so we had no choice but to either watch TV or do something great if we want to do something. But he said for the first time, when he watched the police officer with his knee in Derek Chauvin, in George Floyd's neck, and then the look
mm-hmm.
on his face is what changed him. He said what he saw was straight up white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And he said for the first time, he said he put it on Facebook, but they said, well, what did you put? He said, I asked black people, what can a white person do that wants to make a change? And what I'd like to just say that relates to that is I'd like to recall something that happened with Malcolm X. Years ago, Malcolm was speaking at a college or a place, and he was approached by a young woman of European descent. And she explained to him, you know, I'm of European descent, but I'm not like the white people that I see. I want to help. I want to do something. What can I do? And Malcolm X looked at her. It was in a Spike Lee movie, by the way, but they didn't follow up on this, which I thought they should have. But, you know, blessings to Spike. He did the best he could, which was phenomenal, my number one film. But he said in a very curt, very strong way, no, there's nothing you can do. Now, years later, when Malcolm had gone through transformations, he looked back on that and in his autobiography, he said he wished that he could tell her what he has learned that good white people can do. And he said that what white people ought to do is to go in their neighborhoods and fix what's wrong with their white people.
Mm.
Black folk don't need white mm-hmm. people. You know, it's good to support, march, all that. Okay, that has its place. But as it relates to what's really going on, the only answer is for white people to solve their white problem. And their white problem is fear of a black planet. And I thought about that man and what I would tell white people to do. And, you know, Sasha, when I was at New Paltz, I actually helped mm-hmm. to organize a group of white people. White students that were going to different conferences, because that's what I told them in class. I told them what you can do in my introduction to Africa class. They said, what can I do? I said, what you can do is start to go to these conferences and start talking to your people, European people,
mm-hmm.
because you are fundamentally the only ones that can solve your problem, because black folk don't have a problem. White folk have a problem. Black folk problem
mm-hmm.
is white folk problem. So what I am submitting for us to think about is as it relates to what white folk can do. And that's just a thought, because as far as I'm concerned, you got to go into your neighborhood and, you know, when your crazy uncle is off there talking about how he hates all those and them Hispanics and them Muslims, them Muslims and all the other things that they say they hate, instead of sitting there saying, oh, he's just crazy. No. You say, oh, he's just crazy. He's just like that. You know, he's no harm. No, he is harm. When he was sitting there in that chair talking about how he wanted to kill some black people. You have to talk to your crazy uncles and your fathers, and you got to let them know. This is not going to make the future. This will not survive. White folk must talk to white folk seriously. And I also told the students at New Paltz, black folk shouldn't be there. Black folk should not be at the meetings that white folk have amongst themselves.
Because they'll say things just to pander to the black community, just to look good.
It'll change it. It'll change. That is why I believe that we as African people, we need to have our own private meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk amongst
offended.
Ourselves. Yeah, but
yeah,
that's
but
because
everybody gets offended. Like, why are we being left out?
But that's because they're afraid. They're afraid that we're going to conspire against them. Okay, but I told them, you know, I've told them before, I ain't got time. Even when I get what I want, which is going to come, I am going to overcome this, and I'm going to overcome you. But after I overcome, I'm not interested in paying you back for what you did. I got too much to do. You're not that important to me.
Mm-hmm.
We make them too important.
I agree.
That afterwards we're going to do this to them and do that. Do you know how much mental and spiritual effort it takes to revenge?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about revenge. I'm about avenge. In the Osirian drama, Heru did not revenge his father's death. He avenged it. And when you avenge your death of someone that you love, a parent, that a child will then avenge, what you actually do is you continue your person's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the person that took you out. It's about what that person was doing before he was taken or she was taken out. We must continue the work of our people, particularly for our children. So that's a thought. I found that very interesting. There are people who are coming to realize, look, we're not going to survive like this. All of us are going down. So
there's not that many people that feel that way. There's a lot more people that would rather just be part of the excitement of it and they don't actually care about making it better. And that's what's holding everybody back, because there's a lot of people that really just don't care. They just want to be able to put a hashtag on Instagram and Twitter, but they don't actually care about progressing. And they say things on social media, and then in real life, they're doing the opposite of what they say.
Well, you know, analyze that. Analyze why this is happening. You know, everything is all about posting. If you didn't post it, it didn't happen, or you're not relevant. And you didn't get enough likes. So it's like we really have to evaluate what's important in society, what makes us happy at the end of the day. When we look in the mirror, what makes us joyous? What satisfies our lives? And is it posting? Is it getting likes? Because what happens if you don't get likes? Then you don't like yourself? Like, we have to really, really evaluate what's important. And is it posting and, you know, getting likes, or is it actually being down, you know, down and dirty? And that doesn't necessarily mean being on the front line. It means contributing and helping. And, you know, anybody of any culture that their intention is to do right should always be allowed to do their part. And their part doesn't necessarily, again, have to be within our neighborhoods. It can be within their neighborhoods. And like you were saying, Daddy, you know, their job may be to explain to their uncle, because they might not be able to hear from a black person's mouth, but if a white person comes to them that, you know, that is their relative and they trust and they tell them certain things and it makes sense to them and it resonates with them, you know, that's the change that they're going to be able to make. Nothing physical, nothing material, no amount of money is going to make up for the situations that have occurred. It's not going to bring people's lives back. It's not going to take away these traumas that people deal with on a day-to-day basis, you know, being black and driving, being black and walking through different neighborhoods. Like, there's nothing that is going to take away from that. And people that don't have to deal with it, they're not going to understand. They can't empathize. I can't remember which one it is, when they've gone through it or if they're
empathize
able to feel.
Empathize when they can feel what somebody else is feeling. Sympathize when they can imagine how the person feels.
Yeah.
Empathize when you can actually feel how the person is feeling.
Yeah. So a lot of people can sympathize with different things. A lot of them can't. They cannot empathize. And nor would we wish that on our worst enemies. So let us just recognize that the person is hurt. That's the first thing that I've learned, that I learned in school, is our job is not to be judge and jury. Our job is not to figure out why a person feels the way that they feel. We're supposed to meet them where they are. So anyone of any culture that's not dealing with what we're dealing with, they need to understand that we are dealing with some situations that they'll never fully understand because they've never gone through it. And even if they've gone through something similar, it's just not the same. And so what they have to realize is they'll never really be able to empathize. They can sympathize with us and just support us and you know, do their part on their end to help us be who we are.
Where we are.
Yeah.
Where we are and what
we
have to do.
It's true, though. And like a lot of people, they like to talk about anger. They like to talk about the frustration of things. Okay, but now after you've gotten the anger and frustration out, what are you going to do? What's next? And this is the part that we have to discuss. The next part, you know, we have to evolve from these feelings. And now we have to say, okay, We've gotten, you know, our point across. We have to continue to get our point across because I'm sure that there are individuals who don't fully understand, but how can we do this, not get arrested, not get, you know, ridiculed, not be looked at a certain way? How can we get our point across and ensure that there's never another George Floyd or any of those names, you know, of the above? Because it's still continuing, even though Derek, whatever the cop, Chauvin, name is, even though he, you know, was, what is it called? Convicted. He hasn't been sentenced.
Convicted.
He was convicted. Yeah. Even though he was convicted, people are still left and right killing unarmed black people, black and brown people. So what can
you know,
really
what?
Go ahead. Yes.
No, I'll follow you.
Okay. I was going to add on to what you were saying. I have a 9-year-old, and the other day we were playing with his motorized car, and the remote control is not a regular-looking remote control. I had to take it from him and put it in my pocket because I was scared that somebody might think it was a gun because of the way that it was shaped. It was black, and the way that it was shaped, my fear was that somebody was going to think that he had a gun. And he's 9 years old, but I had to take it from him, and I had to put it in my pocket so that nobody, you know, thought it was something that it wasn't. And that is one of the most disturbing things that I've ever had to do because he's like a kid, but kids get shot in the park for playing with toys. So, like, it doesn't matter who gets convicted. We still have a fear. And even if it never happens to us, we still have that fear. And that's where the concept of privilege comes in. If you can do something and not be afraid, even if it never happens to you, even if it does happen to you,
there's people that even if it happens to them because they're not black or brown, they are not afraid of what's going to happen if they get pulled over. Even if they're literally, like, getting taken away in handcuffs, they still are not going to have the fear that black people have just from seeing, seeing a car that looks like a cop car out in the street. So that's where, people that said that they don't have a privilege, the privilege is not being afraid that a toy is going to be mistaken for a gun for a little kid. Like, it's just crazy. So no matter how many people get convicted, it's still, you know. Go ahead,
the idea of privilege is invisible, that you don't see it. That's why it's a privilege.
Right.
It's something that goes unmentioned, unsaid.
Right.
You know, so they don't, when they wake up in the morning, they never have to wonder how long will they function in that day before they're reminded of their culture.
Right.
How long, when you get
in
up in the morning.
In a negative way, right.
Yes, and even in a positive way. But it's mainly negative, but the idea is that your culture is a function of your existence, not as a human being, but within the context of being a human being. Whether you get up in the morning and you go outside to put the water on for your tea or for your coffee, prepare your breakfast, whatever it is, and you have your TV on, something about being black is going to be broadcast sometime while you're getting ready. White folk don't go through that.
Right.
If you put the radio on, you happen to have news on, something's going to come that's going to remind you that you're black every day of our life. And that's not even going outside yet. Now go outside.
And that's why I don't watch the news.
People of Europe, see, now Asian people now, they're beginning to figure out what's going on here. They're beginning to realize, hey, listen, I never heard so many Asian people say, now I know what it's like to be black.
You can make all the money in the world, but they said if you look away that they don't like, they're going to attack you.
But they didn't. They did not listen to us 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't listen to us when they dealt with the Chinese Exclusionary Act of 1888, I think it was, or 82. They, following our lead in the 60s and 70s, they were always called Orientals. That's how you refer to people of Asian descent, Orientals. And then all of a sudden, Asian people started to claim, no, I want to be known as Asian American. That's how it happened. And the reason why they said they want to be known as Asian American is because we said we want to be known as African American. But they still didn't. There were Asians that joined us. No question. One of Malcolm's greatest supporters was a woman from Japan. She was there when he died. I recognize that there are individuals, but as a group, Asian Americans did not come and march with us. Hispanic Americans as a group did not come and march with us. Muslims.
But they benefited
Arab,
off of what we did.
Yes, they did, but now they're being attacked because now there's a bigger difference because now they are coming in large numbers and they are now voting against white privilege. So now they're beginning to feel the heat, and Trump was the one that brought it out. Trump was the one that forbid Muslims from coming to America. He was building walls down at the border, and he called this pandemic
the Kung Flu
or Chinese Flu.
Disrespectful. That is so disrespectful.
And so, you know, I mean, when you look at this and you understand what's going on to all of our brothers and sisters, we told you what they were going to do. They told you they're coming after us at night because they're coming after you tomorrow morning. But they didn't listen. Now my question is, are you going to listen? Now to all those organizations,
I ain't
joining your organization. You want me.
Right.
And you want my advantage, then you're going to join me. I'm not joining you.
Yep.
I've been in this much longer than you've been. You don't know what I've gone through. So all these groups now are coming up, and they want you to join and help fight with them. Hey, listen, I will fight anti-Asian hate. I will fight anti-Muslim, anti-Hispanic. Well, I see all y'all as black anyway, but I would support that, but I'm going to support it on my terms, not yours.
But that's why people crossed out the stop Asian hate or whatever it was and replaced it with stop white supremacy, because it's not about Asian hate. It's not about Muslim hate. It's not about, you know, it's not about any of those things. It's about, like it's like all the quote-unquote minority groups are trying to say, no, stop it, stop it, stop it. But there's a one big group that if everybody worked together to stop that instead of saying, stop hitting me, like, that the problem is not that people hate Asian people. The problem is that white supremacy is a problem for everyone. It's not just like all of these people need to stop saying it's Asian people that are getting hated on, or Hispanic, or what, or Muslim, or whatever it is. There's only one devil in the room, right, Dan? That's what it is. There's only one devil in the room. The devil is the problem. It's not the hate on Asians. It's the fact that these people don't act properly. Huh?
People are caught up in the result of the problem about anti-Asian, anti-Arab. That's the result of the problem. The problem, as you say, is white fragility or white supremacy.
Yeah, that's the word. There's only one devil in the room. You said that best.
That's it. That's it. And stop tripping over the result. Deal with the problem.
Be proactive instead of reactive.
That's it. And the sooner we all get together and do this, the better off for us.
Yep.
And as African people, let's be clear. We don't have a problem with Asian people. If we had a problem with Asian people, there wouldn't be so many of their businesses in our community. Black folk have a problem with disrespect.
Right.
Black folk have a problem with disrespect. And there are people who disrespect black people who happen to be Asian. They don't act like that because they're Asian. They act like that because they are not respectful people.
Because those particular people are stupid.
That's the bottom line. It's not because of your culture. It's because you're a human being that happens to be, say it again,
an idiot.
Stupid.
An idiot. Stupid.
That's it. And we have to separate those two things from each other. We don't get involved and have problems with Asian people in our community the way in which that guy went in there and shot up all them people in the massage parlor. We don't do that. Now,
right.
Some of us who might be mentally distraught, there's a lot of things that we might do, but we have to clearly analyze and come to our own conclusions about what we're experiencing as a people.
Well, what's the word that you use when I was talking about, like, the Black Lives Matter? The Black Lives Matter, they were peaceful protesters, and they got attacked. But the violent rioters at the thing at the Capitol on what day was that? Was it January 6th? Wow, that was a long time ago. They didn't get attacked the way that peaceful. What is that called? What you keep telling me the name of it, and I forgot.
Dichotomous logic.
Like how? Yes, that.
Dichotomous logic. Peaceful protesters, violent police.
Right.
A couple of weeks later, up the block from where that happened, violent protesters attacked peaceful police.
Right, that did nothing. Some of them got killed. Some of them took their life. It is
And many
crazy.
Were injured. I never realized so many were
right.
injured.
Yeah.
So the question
There's
becomes...
No way to, I mean, they... Yeah.
Question becomes dichotomous logic. You can look at the same event, two totally different results, and both people claim they're right. Somebody's wrong. Dichotomous logic. D-I-C-H-O-T-T-A-M-U-S. M-O-U-S. divergent thinking.
It's amazing. It's amazing how we think that, and we're just so used to it that we're surprised, but we're not surprised. It's just like it's normal for people, and even though we fight against it, we're not surprised. And that's mm-hmm. the worst part about it is that when things don't go this way, it's like, all right, what's the reason it's not going this way? Like, who's financially benefiting off of this if they're acting like they care about us? Like, none of us actually believe it when people care. It's when we think it's normal when people don't care.
Something else?
We don't think it's normal when people care. I don't know.
This is where we are now. This is where we are. But I just never thought it would come in my lifetime. I knew it was going to come. But that was pre-President Obama and pre-President Trump.
And Trump. Oh, crazy. It's all crazy. It's all crazy. Okay, so I'm going to play a song that I feel like it has to do with what we're talking about. So we'll be right back.
All right.
No changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm proud of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal a brother. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can it never take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids with this. And that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Damn, yeah.
Oh, come on, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Disgrace the racist. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this one better place. Let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people. They'll be acting right. It's both black and white. And smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret. Don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary stack and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real, don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made it cheesy today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling back to the kid.
I gotta get paid.
Hey, but that's the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and piss back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops they can't
rage, no food. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some fuck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right,
that's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Way it is.
Oh, yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
That's
yeah.
just the way it is.
Way it is.
Things will never be the same.
My sister.
That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Something will never change.
Hey, that's the way it is.
I think that is exactly
and
what
it's
you
so,
were saying.
It's so relevant. It's so relevant to today.
Right.
He made that song
right.
in, like, what, 92 or something like that?
Yep. Yep, a long time
crazy.
Ago.
That's amazing.
Yep, and it's crazy. Okay, so I would also like to say, before we continue, I would like to just make a mention that somebody has a new page that we should talk about. Got some stuff going on at Panther Prince Productions.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well,
I
see
you got some
level,
stuff going
family.
On here.
Hey, the feedback has been so well received. That we just are expanding and doing our thing. So, yeah, we're expanding. We're trying to get the work done. So that's a good thing.
Sounds good to me. So if you haven't already followed Panther Prince Productions, it's spelled exactly how it sounds. There's an S at the end. Looks like there's a lot going on. And it's ran by the real Nisette. Excuse me, brother.
That
is our brother. I love how you keep it in the family. It's so everything you do, is that, and that's why you'll always be successful, because you keep it within the family.
You know, dynasty.
Absolutely.
And for, you know, for our community, I'm trying to do a little bit more than just talk about what we should do. I want to lead
do
by
it.
Example.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I say these conversations that we have every other week is so important to the overall message that we're all giving each other.
Mm-hmm.
Family. You look out for your family. And it's only when you look out for your family that you can look out for other people.
Yep.
And to me, that becomes very important. I'm not about not caring for other people. I love our people unconditionally, but the best that I can contribute to our people is
mm-hmm.
to have a structured, in place family. And I say, if you go, that's it. That's why we're still talking about Kemet, Egypt, and Kush today, because they built dynasties, not nations. Nations are built by people.
Mm.
Dynasties are built by families.
Mm.
And you pass that legacy down.
It's also, and I do not, and I'm not saying this because I agree with it, saying this as an example. It's one of the reasons why, and even no matter what issues they have, they're still in power, that the royal family, and I don't know too much about them. I'm just going based off of what I see. It is disturbing at times how much they want to keep everything within the family. From the stories that allegedly the stories that they tell, they try to keep everything within the family. And that I think that no matter how much we hate them or no matter how people feel about them, that's why they're so successful, because they do not let outsiders in at all. And while it may look bad from the outside, that's what keeps them from being dismantled, even though they're kind of falling apart right now. But am I wrong for saying that? Like, am I out of turn? Like, I feel like I'm saying it the wrong way.
Well, no.
Correct what
I
said.
Families stick together at all costs. No matter what's going on in the family, the anger,
mm-hmm.
getting on each other's nerves, That mm-hmm. all happens. But, you know, you heard the saying, blood is thicker than water.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that when all is said and done, you know, like I talk about your mother's family, even my family, but I use your mother's family as an example because I was old enough to understand. People may have their problems with each other for all sorts of different reasons, but when it comes down, they will circle. They
mm-hmm.
will circle the barriers and gets inside family. When you in family, you in family.
Yep.
And if we all thought, and even as a people, wait, see, if you start with yourself, you branch out to your family, then you branch out to your community and to your people.
Mm-hmm.
I love our people unconditionally. No matter where you are in the station of life, no matter you gang banger, criminal, whatever,
yeah.
I still love you unconditionally. I may not agree with how you're acting.
Mm-hmm.
I may not agree with what's going on, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to turn against you. And when we learn how to do that, see, that's what's keeping place. Is they're on
yeah.
cold. They're on cold.
Yep. Yep.
The guy said, we didn't send you to Congress to vote your mind or your conscience. We voted you to stay on cold.
Mm.
And cold is that what we say as a group, go.
Right, right.
Okay, you see what's happening with Liz Cheney now? Now, you can't get no more, I would say Republican or conservative, whatever you want to call that nonsense. You can't get no more than that with her. She come from a father. Her father, Dick Cheney, vice president, used to be in charge of Halliburton Corporation. Oh, wow, what a story they have. Okay, all that. She come from deep Republican philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I admire about her and family, I just got to be as honest as I possibly can because you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And
mm-hmm.
again, I'm telling you, even though I talk about the rise of the black woman, that's true. Tends not just with black women, but decent, good-hearted white people who are women. Women are rising. She is the only one who is willing to call evil out.
Mm.
She's willing to go against everybody and speak out ferociously against injustice, no matter how her feelings are. And I understand, I don't agree with anything she agrees with, basically. There are things I do agree with as it relates to humanity, but for the most part, I don't agree with her policies at all. But I do respect someone who's willing to face their own political demise. Her time is up in politics. Everything she ever dreamed of doing, because of the stance she's taken, she's going to pay a price. And they would rather make her pay the price, make her the problem, than a man who is having relations with children. Or a woman that says that, you know, there are certain people that need to die. They'd rather support them. That's how deep insane evilness has gone, that you could support somebody. And you know, when I hear people talking, many of them are Republicans, they say they don't even know what's going to happen to them. I have an idea. We headed towards a civil war. This is the second civil war that's going to end all civil wars. Because the thing that we all have to keep in mind is the world is watching us.
Mm.
The world is watching what we're doing. We'll see. Time will tell. time will tell.
That's right.
But to make it positive, we're still here.
That's right. And we're learning every day.
That is it. And we can smile. We can laugh. We can live. For black folk, that's a miracle. And I got nothing but love and respect for us. For us to be able to do that after all we've been through.
There and is after all people go through all day.
Absolutely. And still come home. Take care of a family. Take care of your business. That is a magnificent human being that shows signs of resilience. We should celebrate that. And recognize that that is also something we should be aware of. We are a great people going through a horrible situation, but we're making lemonade out of lemons.
And we have to continue to do that.
That's right. And how do you say that? Keep on keeping on.
Because it ain't over till we win.
There we go. I'm going to copy that. Thank you so much. I like it. You have style.
No, it's true, though. It's true. It's true. It's like when you think about that saying, like, it makes total sense. You have to keep at it. You have to keep going because it's not over till you win. And that can mean many different things. And winning isn't necessarily like what people think it is. Winning at the end of the day is ensuring that you feel good, you're happy, you're healthy, you're amongst loved ones, and, you know, you don't have to fight anymore. That's happiness.
That's it. That is it.
And we always have to have that mentality, because when you feel like you've been defeated, then you've been defeated. But if you keep on keeping on, you'll finally get to what you wish to have.
That's it.
Never settle.
That's it. You know, you all have watched growing up in the house, what happened, how we developed ourselves, what happened in our home. You've watched my progress over the years. You've seen how I've attempted to build what it is that I'm building. You don't give up. You don't give up, and you don't let other people decide what your fate is going to be. You don't adjust to the world. You make the world adjust to you. And I mean that in a positive sense.
Yeah.
In the sense that you stick by what you believe. The only person that can ever stop you from achieving your goals is you. And if you have that attitude, then you know you are born with everything you need to fulfill every concept, every dream, desire. You have that capacity to do it.
That's right.
And but you got to believe it. You know, I'm not about hope. I'm about how. You know, hope is the procrastination of success. Because when you're hoping, you can't be doing. I understand keep hope alive. I understand what that means. But you got to go beyond hope, because when you're hoping, you're not achieving. You're only hoping that you can achieve. You got to know the difference between the two.
Drop them, Jules.
Hey, listen, we're ready to do this thing. We're doing it as we speak. You know, we're doing it as we speak. You know, folks say, I'm getting ready. No, you already ready. You're doing what you are getting ready for.
Yep. The fact that you are getting ready means you're halfway there. That means you know that you need to be ready. So that's half of the problem, or half of the, you know, half of the concern.
Yep. It's who we are. We are a powerful people. We've achieved a great many things in our life that we should celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let what goes on around you get in the way. It's like Malcolm used to say when you listen to his piece on the field Negro and the house Negro. You know, the idea is that, you know, we are not, and you know, here's another thing. Here's another very interesting. And I want to be careful how I say this.
Uh-oh.
When they, this big thing about, I think it was Tim Scott, the Republican, the African-American congressman, senator, that spoke after Biden spoke, and he said, let me make one thing clear. America is not a racist country. Now, I'd like to break this down in my own way, as I think, because I agree. America
right,
is
exactly.
a beautiful country. America is
mm-hmm.
a beautiful country. Now that it's springtime, when we go for a little ride and we look at that, how beautiful nature is, how the land is, and
mm-hmm.
the food that come from the land, America is a beautiful country. America,
and what we're supposed
the
to be capable of.
Say that again.
And what we're supposed to be capable of in America is a beautiful thing. The way it is on paper, in some regards, is a beautiful thing. It's supposed to be beautiful, but it is, like you said, it is not the. It is not America itself. It is.
No, it's not. And that's why we have to be careful the things that we say and the things we call into being, because the country itself might get upset. I'm speaking figuratively. The country will get upset
right.
with us, because America is saying, ain't nothing wrong with me, it's you people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I was doing fine before y'all came over here.
Exactly.
The moment y'all came over here, all this trouble started. So to me, I just think it's important that we understand and value our words and what we say. And don't get it all twisted, man. They spent days. And then Kamala Harris came behind him and Biden, and they all said the same thing because everybody wanted to know. Do you agree with Senator Tim Scott that America is not a racist country? Biden tried to explain it. Kamala Harris came behind him and did a little bit of a better job, but still, we as a people, black people, we have to have a conversation about what we're saying. America is a beautiful country. It's some of the white folk that are in America that's the problem. I don't have a problem with America, problem with the people that are here. And I'll be honest with
mm-hmm.
you, some of them are melanated too that I got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
let's be very clear with what we're saying so that our children will respect us, because we'll make sense, because children crave order and arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
That's why children will always remind you of what you said. Mommy, you didn't say that last week. Daddy, that's not what you said 2 months ago. What you said was, and then you get upset because, man, she's right. I am contradicting myself. So we have to be real clear and speak. Children's minds, they would say, well, if America is so bad, Why are we still here?
Yep.
And then you got to answer that question. And then you look a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the people that you're trying to deal with, then you just clear out and make sure you solve the problem. The problem
mm-hmm.
is not America.
True.
The problem is white fragility. But that was another thing that came up, which I thought was very important to talk about. Because it's controversial. Because there are many people I hear say America is a horrible place. No, America ain't a horrible place. People are making it a horrible place.
Mm-hmm.
But America is a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
Just like every other land and all the water. It's the Creator's creation. Beautiful. We have to step up and do something about it. We have to save the land.
Up you, Marjorie.
I agree.
All right, there we go. Mark is gone.
You shall accomplish what you will.
What you
no
will.
No
justice.
No peace. No justice.
Go ahead.
No peace.
Nope. The United African Movement and National Action Network actually paid off. Huh.
We still
up
remember
to
it.
Actually,
every day. Yeah. Every day.
Oh, man.
It's
I wish we could still do that.
Wow. Someday we got to take a ride up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it when I was older, but I wish I could do it now.
I mean, you didn't know what you didn't know. And then when you get older, you're just like, I want to go back there. You had no care in the world. Like, you learned so many different trades. Like, they offered
people
you so much.
People cook for you?
And then for you to be around people your age and just be out of the city life and just seeing the country and just fresh air and just pure food. And, you know, we just had so many met amazing teachers, including our father, who, you know, I've been going there since I was five.
Because I was nine.
Yeah.
You all were coming with me when you were in Strolling.
Yeah. It was, but it's an amazing, they teach you how to swim. They took, like, little trade, they taught you how to sew. Like we learned about the Tawana Brawley case. Like, we learned about African culture. We learned so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I knew
that.
I'll
manifest it. When I get to the point of, you know, having extra, that's what I want to do, is to develop a camp like that again and give back to the community and just, you know, uplift our people, because everyone needs to experience that.
Yep. And that experience, I knew that you would value it. But I also knew that it would be a reflective appreciation.
Mm.
Because the fact that you would want to do it again
leads
to its success. And what you now look back, and, you know, when I first developed that program, because I was one of the ones that assisted in developing the program itself for the 2 weeks for the young sisters and 2 weeks for the young brothers. I was the staff developer for that. And the way I developed that program was in a way to ensure that it would be memorable. And I knew that many of the children would not value it, because when you're living in the tech age that y'all were living in, I mean, you all are living in with phones, and you can go down and get your candy and soda. But when you only have one chance a day and a certain amount of money to spend on candy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't even daily. It was like you were surprised when we went to the canteen. Like, it wasn't like,
I think it was once a week.
Yeah, it was like once a week.
I think it was once a week.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
But you appreciated it. Every little chance that you got to go to the canteen, you appreciated it.
And you're healthier.
Swimming, skating, all of that stuff. And just being around kids and just having counselors that
riding
were a little bit older and riding bikes, like there was never a time. Horseback riding. There was never a dull moment. And they even had concerts and stuff. Like
We used to do a rain dance to hope that it would rain so that we didn't have to sleep outside.
But you just, with those experiences, you can't buy that experience. Like, that is something that you'll remember and you'll take back. Like, I was just talking about it, I think, the other day, and I was just like, I miss those times. Like, there was no care in the world. And being able to see stars, like, I know not everybody is from New York City, but just being able to see stars when you looked up in the sky, like, that is amazing.
It was a wonderful time.
It was. And if I could develop that again, that is my goal in life, is to be able to develop something like that.
Well, you said it. It's a matter of manifesting it, and you've got enough people in the family that can support you.
That's right.
Because, you know, whenever somebody in the family got an idea and it's offered for us to get involved, you know, we all get involved. This conversation we're having right now is an example.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine, as a family, we put together the type of program? Because we've already done it. We know how to do it. It's just a matter of manifesting. And since you brought it up, you've already brought it into being. Now we just got to make it become.
Very true.
But that's what our children needed. Children from the Bronx and from Harlem needed to get up out of the concrete jungle and get up into some forest and hike, going to state parks, going swimming. You talked about sewing that led to a fashion show, computer science.
Yep.
Attorney Alton Mallard had to come up and teach law.
And three catered meals a day.
Yeah. And just the camaraderie of it. Like, we, every morning, it was I forgot what time they woke us up. Super early. Every morning, get up, go in a circle, hold hands, make prayer.
Exercise in the morning.
And
libation. It was libation.
Libation, yes.
And you remember when you would go to the cafeteria to eat, and you'd read from Iyanla Van Zandt's book.
That's right. Oh my gosh, I forgot
there
about
are certain songs. There are certain songs now that when I hear it, I think of camp because they used to play it in the jukebox.
Yes, okay. You win the butt. Ow.
Yeah, I didn't
want to.
It's a two
to make
a single,
right?
I knew what it was, but I didn't know. Like, should I say it? Should I not say it? I don't know.
No, I
remember
exactly
the song.
Right.
That I was like,
the jukebox.
So much fun. And the electric slide. We would do the electric slide in the cafeteria. That was great. That was just great.
That's funny. But, yeah, that's what we have to do. We got to bring it back, especially this generation, and especially after quarantine. That is ideal for these kids to be able to have that escape from your phone, and just waking up every day and the first thing you do is reach for your phone. At the end of the night, the last thing you do is reach for your phone, and then, like, it's just they got to get out of the routine. And that's what camp allowed us to do, is getting out of that routine of city life and being a quote-unquote slave to society. Like, forget about society, forget about news, forget about all of that stuff, and just get back into your roots and understanding where you came from, where you are now, and where you're going in the future.
Listen,
I'm watching Fortnite on the TV right now. All I see is Fortnite.
The first
little
thing I am
dressed
up
a little jaguar outfit.
When we took him camping, he didn't want to play about no video games. He was like,
I know.
Tell me stories about this. He like he loves hiking. He loves being out.
He loves
in nature.
Story.
Yeah. Tell me another one.
They're like lullabies. Daddy, what were you gonna say? We interrupted.
Remember
what
the first. The first class that I always did with the retreaters at the camp was, I used to say, don't you miss your phone? Don't you miss just being able to hang out with your friends and listen and go on the phone and talk to your friends and eat all the candy you want and just do what you want to do? I said, are you happy? And they say, no. I say, well, that's good. Because that's just what we wanted to do. We wanted you to come out here and be able to hear yourself think. I always opened up every year saying the same thing, to let them know why you're here. And if you are uncomfortable, it's because you have become so accustomed to all of these distractions that you are distracted from yourself. That when you start dealing with you, you distract.
But if we were wondering, if we were wondering that, you'd be able to tell during COVID, because people like can't do anything, and it's gotten even worse because now people don't go places. Now, when you order food, even if I go, and I'm guilty of it, I'm about to say, even if I'm going somewhere, I will order the food on my app so that when I get there, it is already ready. I don't want to have to wait for my food. And
okay,
it is so sad. All of it is sad. But I don't want to live without it. Like, I want to be able to order my food. Like, if I go to Panera, I want to order my food, and the moment I walk in the door, I want to know that my food is on the shelf waiting for me to take it. And that is very sad. And it's also bad because when you do that, it takes away jobs from real human beings. So it's all bad, but there's nothing that we can do to stop it, because everybody isn't going to stop doing it like all at once, because it's convenient. Who wants to wait on a line when you can just order it on your way somewhere and pick it up and it's ready when you get there? Nobody's thinking about the fact that these machines in McDonald's have taken away jobs from real humans, and the machines in Chase Bank have taken away jobs from real humans. Nobody's thinking about it. That everybody's thinking about the convenience of, oh, now I can just go to the machine and I don't got to worry about it. So I can just go pick it up from the machine. No worries. Nobody's thinking about the real, you know, what's going on now that all these things have been introduced to our life.
Mm. Well.
Quite something else.
Mm-hmm. But.
We'll see.
You know that, and I've actually found the pro. You said something, and I found the perfect song to play.
There we go.
To end it off. This is what I want everybody to be thinking about once we are before the next 2 weeks gets here.
Mhm.
All right.
Well,
I'm thinking
fam.
Already. Hotep family.
All right, Hotep.
Daddy. What's a will?
Take those monies and spread across families. My sister Hattie and Luna, nephews, cousins, and TT. Eric, the rest of B for whatever she wants to do. She might start an institute. She might put poor kids in school. My stake in Rock Nation should go to you. Leave a piece for your siblings to give to their children too. Title to champagne, do say I like to see a nice piece, fund ideas for people who look like we gon' start a society within society. That's major, just like the Negro League. There was a time America wouldn't let us fall. Those times are now back, it's now called Afrotech. Generational wealth, that's the key. My parents ain't have shit, so that shit started with me. My mom took up money, she bought me bonds. That was the sweetest thing of all time, Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellence, baby, you gon' let them see. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellency, baby, let them see. I remember, like, listening to Wu-Tang. And they say, yo, see, marry his see, marry my see. That's how we keep Carter money all in the family. You see, my father, son of a preacher man, whose daughter couldn't escape the reach of the preacher's hand. That charge of energy set all the Carters back. It took all these years to get the zero ones back. I hated religion, cause here was this Christian. He was preaching on Sundays versus how he was living Monday. Someday I forgive him, cause strangely our division led to multiple religion I study. Muslim, Buddhists, and Christians, and I was running from him, but he was giving me wisdom. See how the universe works. It takes my hurt and help me find more of myself. Skipping the curse, that's called the Red Queen's race. You run this hard just to stay in place. Keep up the pace, baby, keep up the pace. You run this hard just to stay in place. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellence, you gon' let them see. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellency, baby, let them see.